Welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Overtime coming at you for the next 2 hours right here on Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller, Josh Stackhouse, Davis Rangy. Not a lot of Vols information, but we got some information. And a lot of it involves the Manti Te'o documentary that just dropped yesterday on Netflix. I have seen bits and pieces of it. I haven't got to sit down and watch the whole thing.
You gave the assignment.
What? I watched the whole thing last night.
Davis texted like 2 a.m. I've done it. I've finished it. I'm tired, but I've done it.
And for that, we thank you. Anyway, so does this make you all feel bad for Manti Te'o at the end of the day? Just from the little bit I've watched, I just look at this, I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, when you think about the time frame between what's happened in those 10 years, nowadays it's pretty easy to pick up on whether or not you're being catfished. I think everybody can agree to that, right?
I wouldn't even go that far, dude. I'd almost say it could be more difficult in certain situations. Like, if somebody really wants to, like, portray somebody else online nowadays, there's so many different ways you can go about it through technology to actually, like, create a whole background of somebody. And
yeah, but I mean, unless you have met them in person or got them on FaceTime or Skype, Facebook video, whatever it may be.
I don't know, man. You can't speak on things like that, because I mean, you have no idea, like, what people have talked about. That was my whole takeaway. It's just everything that they talk
about. But I
mean,
somebody as smart as that, though.
I don't even know, man. I mean, because, dude, he even like, in the documentary, talking about how he messaged other people, and they were all like, yeah, no, I know of her. Yeah, she's real. She's cool. Yeah, no, you're good. Yada, yada, yada. And, dude, you cannot say without a shadow of doubt that this is easy. It's almost kind of, you know, I don't want to be like a victim blamer, I guess.
But I think that it's easier to pinpoint today than what it would have been 10 years ago.
I feel like with technology, it probably would have been easier if you just really took a deep dive into that account.
Well, nobody talked about it as much back then, though. That's the thing, is nobody talked about it as much in 2012 as they do in 2022.
Every single social media back then was in its infancy. Like, Instagram wasn't popping. Twitter was brand new. Snapchat wasn't even around, I don't think.
It had just started. Like, it was literally, like, I think it had got released maybe three to four months prior. Like, Snapchat hadn't been around that long at all. Facebook had just became what it transcended to be. MySpace was kind of on the downslope. But no, like, how did he get in contact with this person?
She friended him on Facebook, and they just started talking, and basically she, like, talked to him about, somebody in her family was sick or something. And what I got from it basically is this: Mantizer was a really, really good guy. He felt like this person reached out to him, you know, they were talking, they'd already been friends, you know, like, text, like, once every few days type thing, like, barely any communication. And then when this person got sick in her family, or yada, 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 he basically just was there to be a comfort and a person to talk to. And then through that, they opened up to each other about sadnesses and, you know, with his grandparents being sick and stuff like that. And it's just,
and there
that,
was like a mutual connection.
It's
there.
A bond about opening up, and opening up is hard for a lot of people. And when you get that connection, that's what I'm saying, that you can't say that it's hard. It's easy to discern, like, a fake person, because you have hope, you have faith that, hey, maybe, like, you want this person to be real, because you can't, there's so many other emotions that go into this, like, whole thing. Like, you can't boil it down to, oh, I'm smart, I'm not smart.
Right.
Okay, well, first of all right, so have you seen the whole thing yet, Stackhouse?
Yeah.
Manti Te'o, I kind of got this impression, I don't know if you did, but he just seemed like one of these kids, like, not how most of us were growing up. Like,
he's from Hawaii, a small town of Hawaii. Like, he didn't understand what catfishing even was. He had no idea what that could even be.
Well, you got to think, like, he's around the same age as you and I are, Stack.
Yeah, but not
he's just a little bit older than us.
I was, like, just getting into high school when he was a senior when all this went down. Like, I was barely a freshman when
I was a senior. I was a senior when he was playing for the national championship.
Yeah, that's like, I think I maybe was a freshman.
Like, I just started talking to Army and Navy and Air Force recruiters.
And, like,
that time.
The only thing that we knew was maybe the Catfish Show, but you think he was watching MTV?
Nobody was watching MTV at that point, man.
Everyone was watching the Catfish Show, but I'm saying, like, he was out there training football in Hawaii to be a protege. Like, that's all he did. He didn't do internet.
No.
Like, that, you cannot hold this against him. But go ahead, David. Sorry.
I was just going to say, like, he's very, like, the whole family was very faith-oriented, very Christian-like. I mean, he even said the whole reason he even went to Notre Dame is because he thought it was a sign from God, because he really wanted to go to USC. And one of his, I guess, what it is, like a pastor of the school or something said, like, I always thought you'd go to a Christian school like Notre Dame. And he regretted even going to Notre Dame.
He said
he signed the papers.
Wow. He said he signed the papers sad. Didn't want to go to USC. He wanted to go to USC. It was his dream school. But God sent him to Notre Dame.
I just absolutely hate that Renaya, whatever she, whatever. I watched it on my phone.
Who did you dislike the most, Davis? Who did you dislike the most in this whole, like, out of this documentary?
Oh,
did you come out of it and you were like, all this is just like.
I hated Renaya, bro. I felt
really
so bad for Manti Te'o, honestly. Like, I really did.
Dude, I was upset with all that, I think, to an extent where, like, I don't understand why she called him and brought her back to life, you know, and like, put that all into motion. And
she's so selfish, bro.
I swear, dude, I put a lot of this on. What was the journalism that broke it? Deadwise? Deadspin? Dude, they did, I think, they were so nervous about missing out on being the first people to break this story that they did Manti Te'o one of the biggest disservices in human history, dude. They ruined this man's character. They ruined this man's NFL career. Because they broke this with such a lack of just an eagerness to ridicule and make fun of somebody as big as ESPN. And we all love when ESPN messes up. Like, we've made fun of them on here. When they mess up, it's like, how are you this big and messing up and not fact-proofing,
fact-checking.
Well,
it's to the level that they're messing up.
Yeah, it's just
they
didn't fact-check or even check. But the fact is that when this is happening, he knows about it, and they just found out about it.
Right.
If he had given them any time, dude, I think that this whole situation had gone better if he was able to tell the story himself from the get-go with Notre Dame and then come out. After all this, I just think that the way that Deadspin released it, it made him out to be such a terrible person because of all the Rudy and the Notre Dame.
They were questioning sexuality and stuff.
Yeah, like, dog. I mean, like, dude, they like.
Now, that was the biggest thing.
They ripped into this man's entire life. He was a top 5 draft pick, man. He was one of the best players in the nation.
He was a defensive player that was a Heisman finalist, and that is rare.
And now he doesn't even play football anymore.
No.
He's done.
She ruined his pro career.
Yeah.
At the end, he said, I just, you know, football is always my safe haven, my getaway. And now, after all that, I just kind of doubt myself and didn't have that confidence. He said he got so nervous and anxious. Like, the first 3 whole years he played pro football, like, his whole body was just numb whenever he stepped on the field.
That broke me, man. That broke me. Because
you got to think, man, if you're in the NFL and you're a starter, your blood is pumping. You are ready to go for every single game. You are as excited as you have ever been. Your dream has finally come true. You're getting paid millions of dollars to do something that you love. And he's going out there with a feeling of numbness.
And he's never felt that way before. That was what I'll be a man, dude. I cried at the end there when he went on his little, like, final, like,
I got choked up.
Speech, man. No, I shed a few tears. I ain't bawling or nothing, but I shed a few tears, dude. It hurts, man, because to see him talking about, like, stepping on that field, like Davis was saying, and just being numb and never.
He's so afraid of messing
up. That was his safe haven was football, man. Like, he could go out there and be free himself. It was his best. It was his favorite place to be his entire life, and it was taken away by anxiety and the pressure of just. He didn't want to make a mistake because, oh my God, again, I'm an idiot. Or I'm dumb. These people are going to make fun of me. There's going to be another meme. And oh my God, dude. It made me feel like a horrible human, man. Maybe I really kind of start hating humanity. I got really dark. I was like, yo.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, some of us have been on the other end of that.
Mm.
So about 5 years ago, I'm up in La Follette. I'm visiting with my grandparents. You know, everyone's there. and I get a text from somebody saying, and this is a female, obviously. She was like, why are you not just texting me instead of texting me on the app? I'm like, what are you talking about? And she's like, are you not on, apparently this app was called Plenty of Fish. And I was like, what is that? And she's like, it's a dating app. I'm like, there's Tinder and Bumble. Why are you on this? And she's like,
I've never heard of this site.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's crazy.
And, well, and then her response was, that's not the point. I think somebody is using your pictures and your name to try to get dates with people, and you probably need to stop it before anything goes down. And I'm like, well, show me what's up. So she sends me screenshots, and these are my pictures, like from my Instagram and my Facebook, that someone has screenshot or just saved on their phone and uploaded this app and like using my name like in the text and everything. And then what's up?
Creepy as hell.
Oh, dude, it gets even worse. So I'm like, do you have this person's number? And she said, no. I said, here's what I need you to do. I need you to ask for their number, say you want to go on a date, get a few texts out of it, block their number, but make sure I get the number before you block it. So she does. She gets a text from this person, says, hey, this is Jake. And she responds back, oh, hey, cool. What would be a good day for you to meet up? And he was like, this time, this day, at this place. She's like, okay, sounds good. Sends me the screenshot of that, blocks the number. I type the number into my phone because I'm about to call and chew this person out. And then I type in the last number, and a name popped up. It was my first roommate from when I was at MTSU.
That's dope,
dude. At this point, I am raging. I call him. I cuss him out. I'm doing everything. I'm calling him everything under the book. And then I try to call him back. He blocked my number.
Or what a two. You're being crazy, Jake.
Okay.
He's well, just a fan.
Well, no. No. Here's the thing. That's only one case that I know about. There's no telling what else he has said done.
I thought you meant like you... Oh. I thought you meant like there's multiple accounts out there with just your face.
What? Well, I mean, let's be honest.
No, yeah.
If he's doing it on that, he's probably doing it on others.
Is there any bit of you that was, like, flattered?
No.
Okay. I just had to ask, you know?
No, not at all. Like, dude, I feel like there'd be, like,
maybe 1% chance that if there's, like, a Tinder profile out there, just bagging mad women with my face.
Well, no, here's the thing, man. It's like, when you think about that, it's like, what is this person doing? Is he actually going on dates with these people? What if he sexually assaults somebody, or worse, what if he gets caught in one of these child stings? And my face is attached to that.
Oh, my God. That's something I would never just go down thinking about. That's crazy. Yeah, that was a wild turn that you just threw in. That's a wild
dude,
scenario.
But, I mean, is it not? It's a real concern.
Yeah,
is it not?
100%. Yeah.
But I'm a stack out. Someone had to use my face and my body and all that to try to get... dates, like,
well, I'm a sexy bleepity bleep, but
like
come
I said,
on
like,
now.
I'm at like 5% flattery. I'm mostly just kind of annoyed because, like, yo, dog, there's only one
stack. Would you use my pictures if you were trying to catfish somebody?
Do you see this hair, dog? I'm gorgeous.
No, would you use my pictures?
Oh, no. What? What? Like,
yeah, you would because you're sitting there having to think about it.
No, now you're putting me in a weird situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Where I'd be mean on air and like make Holly be like, no, I'd never.
What does it matter? Three and Out was talking about making out with each other for a national championship earlier.
See, I think that's worse than what we were talking about, but I'd have the debate on that one more than.
But I mean, would you not think that's a legitimate concern on my part, though?
Oh yeah, no. It's totally creepy. Like, but would I ever use you to catfish somebody? No, possibly not. I feel like I'd get a lot of mothers or single mothers.
One, the only...
No, I don't really need that.
The only... well, the thing is, the only cougars. Similarities...
Yeah, a bunch of cougars hit me up.
Oh, God.
I've heard your voice on the radio.
You're the best voice on radio.
Oh, it's just wonderful, Jake. And I'm just like, I don't need all that. I'm good. I'll use somebody else.
The only similarities that this guy had... I'm dark-skinned because I'm Cherokee. That guy was Middle Eastern.
That's sick.
That's it.
Makes sense.
Yep.
I mean, Christopher Columbus was confused. That's how we got the situation.
What?
Never mind. My favorite part, though, I just remember this, was Dr. Phil popping up in this documentary, dude.
I was not expecting him. It was dude, a little dramatic. Like, I was like, who's this bald guy? And then he put his face up. I was like, oh.
It's just his big hand and then him crouching in and squatting. And then it's just Dr. Phil's face. And I just leapt up off the couch and was like, yes.
Dude, the craziest part is they said that the chances that Renaya or whatever the name is, the chances that his voice would match a girl's voice was 1 in 10 billion. And then it actually like proved to be his voice turning into a girl. Like he could mimic his voice into a girl.
That was like, oh my.
You know what's funny is I have one of my other roommates. He had forgotten about this, like didn't know about it. And he's like, dude, you've got to send me this clip.
Of
what we just talked about.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Shout out to Ray.
I was like, you have a clip of this guy? But no, dude, the voice thing, I thought it was funny that it had Dr. Phil stressing so hard though, dude. Like he was hot. He was like, yeah, this guy's definitely lying to me. He definitely has some girl using this voice. He was like, no, you gotta give me a dark room where I'm locked away by myself. And he was just in this corner. Perfect woman. Never in my life could I have ever thought that was a man talking. I'm okay with you, Davis. It blew my mind, dog.
There are so many questions I have left because the girl Stephanie O'Meara or something. I think that was her name. The girl's pictures that Renaya was using.
Oh yeah. The real girl.
She said that when they asked her, she said, I had no idea that Renaya was using my pictures and all that. But when Manti Te'o asked Renaya for a picture, you know, with the date and like certain things in the background, writing down markers,
oh yeah,
Renaya said that she asked the girl to take that picture. So like
she asked her. So, no, like, no. She said that she asked him because her brother was in a car wreck, and she wanted that photo for motivation for him to get better out of the car wreck. So she lied to that girl for that photo. She was like, hey, could you send me this photo? It'll cheer my brother up and get him, give him some motivation to fight. You know, he's kind of hurt here after this car accident. Yeah, like they slipped that in there right after they talked about that picture because that blew my mind too. And I just caught it.
Yeah, I don't know. I was confused because I thought that she was talking to Renaya. Like she had previous, I don't know. She was kind of confusing how they, or whatever. That guy just showed no remorse for Naya. That just really pissed me off.
Stay with us. Overtime continues. 865-546-8200. Your number if you want to hop on the show. Fan Run Radio back with more right after this. Fan Run Radio overtime continues. Go back to the Big Orange Phillies hotline. Talk to our man Phil. What's up, Phil?
What are you doing, Jack Snake?
Philly.
How are you and the boys doing?
Doing good.
It's been kind of a sad day of radio. I mean, listening this morning, talking about making out, and then W talking about movies, and then y'all talking about a Notre Dame football player, and then I hate that. Well, somebody imitating you there, that's, good Lord, what's the world coming to?
Well, to be fair, Phil, I would use my pictures, too. I'm definitely not using bears. I mean, that's that's for sure.
The holiday was Westchester's called three and out. I mean, that guy's, he's moving up in the rankings as one of the best callers in Knoxville.
He does good until he calls in and says, hey, sweetie, when Lowe's on air, and that's when things take a downturn, usually.
Well, you know, he's probably alcohol-induced by that this late in the day.
Oh, God, yeah.
In the morning time, you know he's probably sober. It's kind of interesting.
Hey, you got to wait till at least 12. That's my rule.
So, did they have a practice today? Is there anything new come out of the practice?
I haven't heard anything new other than what we talked about yesterday. I think somebody got their no-contact jersey removed. But other than that, nothing else. I'm seeing a lot more about other programs than I am ours right now. I know Isaiah Nayor, he's out for the year.
today, I mean, it's a lot of repetitive stuff I've heard. I read a couple articles talking about practice today. Just talking about Juwan Mitchell again. He's continuing to flash. He's just a much needed spot on the depth chart. They said that he's really seeming to fit what he needed to be last year, and we're getting what he should have been now. Running backs working more in the passing game. It seems like they're getting them out, working on that today, and then basically just working. Brew McCoy continues to look more crisp in and out of his breaks. He seems to be just progressing, and hopefully, I mean, I'm still no word on his eligibility, but hopefully he is eligible, because I've just heard nothing but good things about him in camp so far.
Yeah, I hope I can get him eligible. If he was at Alabama or Georgia, he'd already been eligible.
Oh, you know that's the case. Yeah. I mean, you go to Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, you'll get eligible. You come to Tennessee, oh, well, you got to play out the process, which may or may not take how many days we got till kickoff? 15? Yeah.
Yeah, 15, 14 tomorrow.
He'll probably be eligible in about 14 days.
Who's this Australian kicker they got over?
That, I don't know. I know he was a walk-on? I'm pretty sure.
He's a walk-on, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a walk-on.
Supposedly he's going to start practicing next week, is what I saw on the Ball Nation. I don't like much about him.
If he can kick the ball, that's all that matters.
Yeah, love me some Aussie punters.
Be nice, especially get some of these roll inside the 5-yard line on these pooch kicks. We haven't been too good at that in recent years.
No, Trevor Daniel was probably the best one that we had.
I'm not a fan of the pooch kick.
He's on a full scholarship, it says.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Sick, yeah. Dude. Must be really good then. I mean, they do have that training camp.
Wow. How many kickers they got over there now?
McGrath, Brooks, Aussie.
Hold on, I got you.
Oh, we got three. We got four now, don't we?
On the roster. Let's see. Hold on, I got it pulled up. I got the roster pulled. The depth chart at least pulled up. You got.
Should be three or four, because you're going to take into account a walk-on kicker like Butch Jones' son. He was a walk-on kicker.
Two, three, four?
Yeah.
Four now, I think.
Didn't they get a punter from Catholic, too? He's a walk-on?
Think so. Real? Yes.
Or whatever his name is.
Yeah, pretty sure.
That's a lot of kickers in it.
It's a lot, but, I mean, that's the thing about that position. If you have one catastrophic injury, you're like – you're like Derek Dooley. You're like going over to the frat house picking up one of my guys.
Well, it's 1/3 of the game, and who's going to be Tennessee's returner? Anybody know?
It's probably going to be Trey Flowers and Jimmy Holiday.
They've got Squirrel White working back there, kick return or punt return, I believe. Flowers and Holiday are the kick returners. I read that today, and then
Holiday going to.
They're working punts. Squirrel White back there at punt return as well as Holiday, and that's the only other one I've heard. One other.
Well, Holiday had one good kick last year, but Flowers, he don't impress me none as a kick returner.
Nah, not really.
They said it's going to be a group effort. They said that it's just hard to replace, what's his name?
Valus.
Yeah, Valus, sorry.
Yeah,
he did a good job.
He was really good, yeah. So they said it's going to be a group effort. Until somebody breaks through, I guess.
Well, is there any football on this weekend? When's the official first start of football season start?
Next week you're going to have week zero games. You've got Vandy playing Hawaii, and then Nebraska and Northwestern are playing over in Ireland.
Huh.
Kind of excited because
Ireland off game. Loses that. Yeah. It'll be awful, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, when you think of Ireland, you think of Nebraska and Northwestern. I'll tell you what.
It's the first school that came to mind, Nebraska. First school.
Oh, gosh. Well, I guess I'll get off here. I've enjoyed hearing y'all this commentary now. Let's get the phone calls in now.
Let's do it. Appreciate it, Phil. Good call from Phil. That's going to be interesting to see how the kick and punt return thing turns around, because, I mean, we've had great kick returners, great punt returners. Evan Berry, Bayless Jones, first two that pop in mind in recent memory. And then during the 2000s, we didn't really have – that great of success with punt and kick returners. LaMarcus Coker was okay. He couldn't stay out of trouble, though.
It's a special talent, man. Like, you can always like catch it and return it, but to be able to navigate a field and take it back with any – to have a team scared every time they kick it to you is just a special talent.
I feel like that's, like, one of the most underrated, I guess, aspects of the game. Because, I mean, we talk about Bayless Jones, but he did drop that punt against Ole Miss last year. And I still think, like, to this day, if he catches that, like he does 99 times out of 100, we go down, we score, and we put Ole Miss on their heels to start instead of starting in a 7-0 hole.
Oh, you're not wrong at all. I mean, realistically, who are some of the better kick and punt returners we've had other than what I just mentioned? I know Leonard Scott, you know, in the late 90s. Dale Carter, good kick returner.
Kamara did a little bit.
Kamara did for a little bit. Man, you Cam never Sutton. Really – Cam Sutton was good.
You're right, though. There's just like
– I mean, you look at players like Devin Hester.
God.
I don't know why people kick the ball to him.
Yeah, that's – eventually you got to think like, hey, let's just not do that. But, oh, no, they're going to get him the ball no matter what. That dude was just insanely athletic. You're talking about just athletic kick returners and punt returners.
Like, you're
– pure athletic. Like, that's just – being able to see a field that quick and just
like you're better off throwing the ball down the field and getting a long interception than you are
100%,
kicking the ball
yeah.
to him. Because that's the thing about plays like that is sometimes a deep interception works out like a short punt. And in cases like that, when you're having to go up against him time and time again, you're better off just slinging one down the field to get picked off.
Yeah, another one is
Chris says Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah. Did you not say him? I thought you said it. I didn't even bring
him up. I can't believe I let that one slip my mind.
Yeah, I 100% thought you said it. I was going to say it earlier. I thought that was the first – that's the first person that comes to my mind when I think of Tennessee, like, kid returners and punt returners, Cordarrelle.
I mean, the dude was a returner. He was a wide receiver. They plopped him in at running back.
He's offense. That's his position, offense.
Just a great all-around athlete. Let's go back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines and talk to Daniel. What's up, Daniel?
How y'all doing this evening?
Doing good, man.
I think one name I think about as a good punt returner or kick returner wasn't necessarily – it was just dynamic when he got the ball. It was Devin Young. You know, you could always count on him getting to about the 20 or 25-yard line, but those 20 or 25 yards were very electric.
That they were. So he didn't do much for us, but he did just enough to keep us out of harm's way.
No, but, man, he was – it's just like every time he got the ball, you thought something could happen because he was very – I remember him – in high school when he'd play us, that guy was just so dynamic as a regional guy. I mean, it's kind of disappointing, you know, when players like his status, you know, that have the talent, but, you know, it just doesn't, you know, parlay into, you know, the Division I level because that guy was uber talented.
Daniel, you ever stop and think about all of the talent that's played an away game at Campbell County?
It was, you know, I think back to those years when I was in high school, and see, they played a different, you know, the classes were the divisions. You know, we were 5A at the time, and we played teams like Dobbins Bennett and Science Hill. I mean, and you know, they don't play that quite that. But back then, you know, there was some real talent out of that DB area, that Science Hill area. It's like serious talent.
Oh, absolutely. That's why every time we played them, we'd get beat 35-50 to nothing.
Wasn't there a set of brothers that played? One of them played in the league for the Cowboys. They were like safeties or secondary or cornerbacks. What were their names? I can't. I know that they were a set of brothers that played separate times, but they were some ball players. I think they played at DB.
I think you're right. Two others that we got to see play at Campbell County, the Colquitt brothers, when Bearden was in that district.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, there was, like you said, there was some talent, and like, you know, we had Chris Johnson. I mean, he was a very skilled player, and it's disappointing when you see it, like, not manifest to the next level because it's out there, and I'm actually thankful that, you know, you're seeing a lot more of the high school level talent in this region that are actually, you know, I think, you know, there's a guy at South Dool that's getting some win as a Division I running back. I think even South Dool had one a couple years ago that went to Missouri. So, I mean, and then there's an offensive lineman that's getting Division I out of Alcoa getting some momentum. So it's good to see this region have some Division I talent out there.
Oh, it is, absolutely. And, you know, you brought up a name that I have – I bring it up in conversation sometimes when it pops to mind, Chris Johnson. Not the Chris Johnson that played for the Titans, but the Chris Johnson that went to Campbell County. I think it might have been like 2005. They were playing Bearden. This guy, in his first two carries, had 178 yards rushing and two touchdowns.
And that, and when he was the offense, he was the quarterback, the tailback. Yeah, he was, and that was back in like 05. That was the first time that we had made it back to the playoffs since the 70s, I think it was.
Oh, it was the first time ever.
The school originated back in the 70s, so I guess you're right.
Yeah.
But, and it wasn't even that big of a, I think they had won like six games. They had just barely made it in as a, you know, as a wild card or as a play-in team. But you're right. That guy had some crazy talent. I mean, I remember he hurdled. I think it was playing Jeff County, and he like hurdled a fence to get out of the way of a referee or something of that nature. But yeah,
I still have that clip.
He has some freak talent.
Yeah, I'll
you all were
video.
Talking. Awesome, I'd like to see that. You all were talking about games yesterday.
Yep.
I'm a big 2K fan, but that. There is nothing like the NCAA football and getting with your buddies and playing a dynasty. I remember me and a couple buddies, we would stay up all night long sometimes and just play another season. And you know, one of my friends, we were playing and he won a title at Vanderbilt. So
I think I did that too. I think,
but that was so much fun doing that.
Yeah, I chose Vanderbilt, too. I took San Diego State to a natty one time. UConn.
I took the Kappa Sigma fraternity to a national championship.
Oh, my gosh, you created a team and did that, yeah.
Absolutely. Heisman candidate Jake Miller.
The worst.
We would even do, like, press conferences in between, like, simulating the off season of someone who would take a job. And I mean, it went whole next level, so... I'm all for it. Oh, by the way, you're talking about the Manti Te'o on the way out. I'm gonna take a look at that tonight. I'm looking forward to it because like initially when it came out, everybody was kind of mocking the guy. But sounds like from the way things are sounding, you got to have some sympathy for the guy. Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
See you, buddy.
Appreciate it, Daniel.
It was filmed really well, I think, too. Like, it's
very well produced.
Yeah, it just the whole way they displayed and really told everything, I thought was just what really captured my attention. It was just really well told. It just needed to be told also to kind of, I don't know, like save face for him some, just a little bit. I mean,
yeah.
Way too late, but yeah, better late than never.
Hate it for
he
the
said,
guy.
Jay-Z was his inspiration, right? Jay-Z said, like,
yeah,
you have to talk about the things
of
that
all
hurt
people.
You in the past. Yeah.
Dude, yeah, you – oh, I forgot about that. I even tweeted that. Like, where did he get in – where does Jay-Z fit in this picture, man?
Okay, so Cam Jordan, when he was playing with the Saints, Cam Jordan took the entire defense to a Jay-Z concert, and Jay-Z said that before a show. And it just, like, hit him all of a sudden. He's like, I need to talk about this now, finally, 10 years later.
That's crazy. It's a wild, just random.
It is random.
I'm talking about saving face. That's, yeah, dude, that's.
Man.
Happy to tell a story, though.
That's anyway. Anyway, stay with us. Final segment, hour number one, coming up right here on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back. Overtime continues on. So, someone in Kentucky has decided that Tennessee acted like when we beat them last year in Lexington 45-42, that it was like our Super Bowl. I want to remind everybody, this is the same team that lost 26 straight to us and tore down the goalpost in 2011 after beating us 10-7, and they didn't even go to a bowl game. They were 5-7. That made them 5-7 on the year, and they tore down the goalpost because they beat us. That is just ridiculous.
I don't know. It was just such a bad video. It's just a bad video.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's not a big deal that we beat them. I think the point that we're making is that it wasn't a big deal that we beat you. It wasn't a big deal. You're making it a big deal because you won 10 games.
And he's like, well, they only had the ball for 10 minutes. We had the ball for 50 minutes. Stack, you know what? You got the clip, don't you?
I do.
Roll the clip.
All right. Hold on. Let me turn this volume up. Let me get this cracking.
Tennessee fans are really proud of this. This right here. They are legit proud that they had to put up 45 to beat Kentucky by 3. Like, they claim that as some big accomplishment. But then the year before that, we absolutely trounced their ass at Neyland Stadium. Which, by the way, we come back this year to Neyland with a better offensive line, a better defense, and a quarterback who's been touted as the potential number one pick. I'm just saying, like, and then their team goes 7-6 last year. Like, delusional fan base of all fan bases.
You want to talk about delusional, you need to talk about yourself. That guy's not eating Hamburger Helper. He's eating Panburger Partner.
Why are you smacking so much?
514 wins, 566 losses. You're delusional. I don't care.
First of all, he said we're gonna have a better O-line. Okay, who cares? Will Levis is not anywhere near number one overall quarterback.
No, not even close.
I'd hope to God your defense is better. I mean, we absolutely shredded it. It was like
took 40 those 45 points for 15 minutes. That's how bad that defense was. It should be better. So. It might take 16 minutes this year, guys.
It might take 16 minutes.
It might take 16, maybe even 15:05. But it'll take a little bit longer.
Is the biggest, like, after we beat them last year, I came upon his stuff on Twitter, and he was about to cry after our game. Like, he was, yeah. That and after they lost to St. Peter's, I tuned back in and watched him again. I can't take that guy seriously.
It's like, I didn't think that it could get much worse than KSR, but it really can. It really can. And this guy is proof that it can get worse than KSR in Kentucky. I can't believe what I just heard. That might have been the most delusional Kentucky fan I think I've ever seen in my life. And what was he eating?
Dude, it had to have been the best dinner he had just ever. He just finished the greatest dinner.
What's he eating?
He had the wettest mouth of all time. I watched this video last about like 7 times, dog, and I've never in my life eaten, right?
Eaten.
Okay, I didn't want to sound like an idiot making fun of somebody, so, you know, make sure to walk that line, but I've never eaten anything that's made me just for like a minute and a half long video, dude, just like sucking on the last savors of whatever he just ate. So I hope it was the greatest meal ever because it was the worst thing to listen to.
I know where you can get something that savory, and that is at Big Orange Phillies over in Halls off Maynardville Pike. Let's go back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Talk to TJ, the Kentucky fan. What's up, Tej?
Well, you know, I tell you. Man, that was the stupidest guy I've ever seen in my life.
And you're a Kentucky fan.
Yeah, because look, here's the thing. If you're not excited about beating any SEC team outside of maybe like
Vanderbilt, Missouri,
or South Carolina, then you're an idiot because it's an SEC team. It's an SEC game. How are you going to get to Atlanta if you lose the SEC game in the SEC? That dude was an idiot. And look, I think one of your partners there, Russell, he talking about Mark Stoops going off, but I don't know if you saw it, but Mark Stoops made a jab to South Carolina and their coach.
Well,
and
he should have, because Shane Beamer's an idiot.
Here's what I think. I think Mark Stoops is the only coach with the kahunas big enough to say what we all were thinking and saying, too.
I mean, you're not wrong.
I'm right behind you. I have no problem with him calling him out. I'm kind of behind Mark Stoops on this situation. I will say that. And all kudos to him for saying it, because I'm tired of Shane Beamer, too.
And I think the best part about it was he didn't just say, put your glasses on. He said, put your stupid glasses on. I love that part even more.
They were stupid.
It was, man, just thinking about, hey, 2 weeks away, man. I guess what? We are
15 days out.
We're, I think, 18 days out. We play Saturday. Y'all play Thursday. Man, I cannot wait. It is, we're now at that time where it's real. We're in DEFCON 4. It's coming, and I cannot wait to pull out the chili, the soup, the game day shirt, the game day pants, the socks, the underwear.
That's right.
Let's get to it and play some football, boys.
That's right, TJ.
I don't wear underwear, TJ, and you know why? Because I shop at Maripex Apparel.
It's true. They come underwear in. He hung up on that.
Good.
You scared him off. You took off. Why? But I am with him, man, dude. I'm pumped up, and honestly, I think, and just watching that Manti Te'o documentary and watching those scenes from just his football games and how, like, just the atmosphere and all of those, got me even more hyped up for football season. Then I watched the Hard Knocks episode, which, again, amazing. Love. Lions are putting on a show. Everything, they're doing everything right. Big fan of what they got going on, because those episodes have been amazing. Dan Campbell's top five favorite people in my entire lifetime history. I'd shake his hand so many times.
You'd shake his hand so many times?
So many times. He's such a great guy.
Would you make out with him if it meant Tennessee wins the national title?
Yes, go ahead and say it. You would.
How long?
3 seconds.
Yeah. 3 seconds? Yeah. No biggie. Natty? Natty championship, dude?
Over Alabama in the national championship?
Yeah. Oh, dude. Dancing. Dancing to go kiss Dan. Dancing. But, no, I am beyond eager for football season to come up. And I'm pretty sure John Reed says this all the time. This is, like, his least favorite time of the year is the month of August, basically, because it's just lead up to football and just, like, the slowest lead up ever. And I'm 100% behind that, because every day, I've been living a day ahead. I keep thinking today is Thursday. Is today Thursday or Friday?
Today is Wednesday.
Wednesday? Okay.
You're always a day ahead.
I think it's Thursday this entire day, dude. I just wanted to be week zero already and just watch something so I know that every Saturday I have something to look forward to.
I know what I'm looking forward to.
Big Phillies.
Big Orange Phillies.
Big Orange Phillies.
Yeah, I'm going to stop in this weekend. Haven't decided what I'm getting yet, but I like what I see on the menu. You know, that's something that Adam and I have been doing, too. Been doing fan-run food reviews. Got some videos that are in the editing process.
I did see that. That burger that you reviewed looked really good, too.
Oh, the burger was pretty good.
Because,
like, one of those deals, I mean, we could do pizza. Because that's what former Overtime host Tanner Carson, which, by the way, yesterday was his birthday. Happy late birthday, Tanner.
Hey, happy birthday.
But, you know, we can't steal somebody's idea that they already stole from us before. So, yeah, we're just going to do all types of restaurants doing the food reviews.
I love food, so I'll be tuning into those.
Oh, yeah.
100%. I
got 3 and Out represented, Overtime represented.
Yeah, there's nothing more that I love hardly than food.
Listening to the Blitz, or not the Blitz, Talk Sports, because Cody's back.
Oh, yeah.
Cody, He's got a good taste in food. We need to bring Cody on these fan-run food reviews.
I try not to go to the same place twice. I try to keep going to like new places around Knoxville since I've been up here.
That's what I try.
I try to consistently go to a newer restaurant. I've been really good about it, but sometimes, you know, you have to lapse.
Crumble Cookie, though. That's a place I'm going to keep going back to. I could not get enough of those. Thanks to them for setting those in. Love me some Crumble Cookies. Stack, you've had them, haven't you?
I have not.
You've not had Crumble yet?
I'm not a sweets guy. I don't think about sugary things. I do mess with cookies, though, like, so, like, 100%, but not with a lot of icing. Like, I'll take a chocolate chip cookie.
Buddy, these might be the best chocolate chip cookies you ever eat.
And also, I'll eat an oatmeal raisin, too. People hate on those. Super slept on cookie. Raisins are banging, and y'all are just weak-minded and weak taste-budded.
Weak taste budded?
Yeah, dude, honestly, people that have just like weak palates, it's just sad. It's just like, so what are you supposed to do?
I don't know what you're supposed to do, man. To each their own, I guess. Hour number one of the books, hour number two of Overtime, coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.